Okay, we're ready to get into the Word?
All right. If you have markers, put one in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and in Hebrews chapter 3. And we're going to open tonight in Numbers 13. I was thinking about what I was going to share tonight. And I was asking Father, I said, you know, what kind of title do I give this? How do I tell the folks what we're really going to talk about tonight? And before Sunday night, I had one thought in mind that just did not work real well for me. And then Pastor made a statement Sunday night. He says, the greatest struggle for most Christians is their declaration. The greatest struggle for most Christians is their declaration. So tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about declarations that defeat us. Declarations that defeat us, okay? And we're going to look at a record that I'm sure is very familiar to all of you, okay? But in that record, there are a lot of salient points that the Lord makes about how important it is to believe what we say, and to believe the one that we have faith and confidence in. So look in Numbers chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And let's stop right there for just a moment. So we see in the first three verses that the Lord spoke to Moses and says, I want you to send men into the land of Canaan, okay? The land that I promised your father Abraham back in Genesis chapter 15. Okay, I want you to send men into the land to spy the land out. Now, when we read this record in Numbers, it gives the image of God saying, okay, now I have given you this land. Now I want you to go take a look at it before you go over into the land. Okay, but turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. I want to show you something. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning with verse 19, and hold your finger in Numbers chapter 12 because we're coming back there. But in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19, it says, this is Moses recounting for the children of Israel the things that they went through, okay? And this is 40 years later that he's recounting the things that happened back in Numbers chapter 13, okay? So Moses is telling the children of Israel, verse 19, and when we departed from Horeb, we went through all the great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord your God doth give unto us. Okay, which the Lord your God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be ye discouraged. Okay? So we see that when they get to the Mount of Horeb, Moses says, now this is the land that God has given you. Go up and possess it. Is that not what he said? Go up and possess it. Now, look at verse 22. And ye came near to me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us. Now, I ask you, what was God's original intent when they got to Mount Horeb? Go in, possess the land. And the children said, but wait a minute, God. Yeah, I know you promised us way back in Genesis chapter 15 that we were going to possess this land. I understand that. It's clear as mud, been passed down all these years. We are here. We're ready to go over. And then they said, but wait a minute. Now, This is the promised land. We know this. But before we go over, let's send spies in there to make sure that it's everything God said it is going to be. Do you see that? By them saying, when Moses said, go up and possess the land, and they say, hold up, wait a minute. We want to go search it out first. We want to go take a look at it first before we go over there. In other words, we don't believe what God said. We want to see it for ourselves. Do you see this? Because God says, go up and possess the land. And then the children of Israel go to Moses. Wait a minute, Moses, we're not ready yet. We want to make sure this land is as good as God said it is. We want you to send spies, send some of our leaders to go up and take a look at that land first, Moses. And then when they come back and give us a report, we'll be ready to go. When God tells you something, when God makes a promise to you, you don't have to worry about it. The only thing you have to do is pick your feet up and go where God tells you to go. Because, see, God had already spied out the land for them. They didn't need to send spies to the land. God had already done that. He had already done that. You have an inheritance God has already given you. But you are not walking in it because you want to search it out first to see if God's what he says is really true. And only thing God is saying, listen, hear my voice, listen to me, and just obey it, and you'll see the results. That's what he wanted from the children of Israel. But they said, Moses, no, we're not ready yet, okay? We're not ready yet. We want to see it first, okay? Faith says, I can't see it, but God said it, so it's true, I'm going to follow through. Okay, unbelief says, if I can't see it with my eyes, then it cannot be true. Okay, yes, you know what? My arm is really hurting. I'm giving you an example. Okay, my arm is really hurting. But the word of God says, by his stripes you were healed. Yeah, but my arm is still hurting. The word of God says, by his stripes you were healed. But my arm is still hurting. Okay. You see, God says, I don't care what you see. I just want you to listen and obey my word. I don't care what it looks like. I just want you to listen and obey my word, okay? Now, we're going to see what happens because they did not immediately go in and possess the land, okay? They did not immediately go in and possess the land. So let's go back to chapter 13, okay? Now, let's skip down to verse 17. In the next few verses, from verses 4 through verses 16 of Numbers chapter 13, let me back up for just a minute. When Moses said that in verse 3, and Moses by the commandment of the Lord, okay? In other words, what Moses is saying is God has said, okay, if that's what you want to do, you go spy out the land. It's not what I want. But if it's what you want to do, God has said, okay, you can go spy out the land. Okay? So that's what by commandment of the Lord means. Okay? Because let me tell you something. God gave you dominion here. Okay? So when you decide whether or not you're going to do something, God is not going to come up behind you and slap you across the head and say, that's not what I told you to do. He gave you dominion. So you make choices every single time. Okay, and so when Moses said it sounded good to me, he went and talked over to the Lord. The Lord says, okay, fine. They don't believe me, and we're going to see this later on, but okay, fine. Let them send spies. Okay, so from verses 4 through verses 16, they identify the spies who are going to go over to the land and spy it out. Okay, now notice what he says in verse 2, the latter part of verse 2. Every tribe of their fathers, send ye a man, every one a ruler among them. Okay? And notice verse 3, latter part of verse 3. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Keep that, remember that. You're talking about rulers and heads of the children of Israel. Okay? Now, look at verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land, in parentheses, that God had already spied out, okay? And said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, what cities they be that they dwell in, whether they have tents or in strongholds, or whether they have, the strongholds mean whether they have cities with walls. Okay? Verse 20. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And now look at the very next thing Moses says. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Okay, now the time of the first fruit was grapes. Why did Moses tell them to be of good courage? Number one, they'd already decided that they're not going to obey God. Okay, they had to see the land first. Number one. So what Moses was telling them now, I want you to be of good courage, because I don't care what you see. Remember, God has already given you the land. When you go search by the land, it does not matter what you see. Be of good courage, because God has already given you the land. Okay? God has already given you the land. Look at verse 21. So they went up, searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rahab as you meet into Hamath. And then they talk about all the other places that they go. And then look in the latter part of verse 23 when it says, they went to the brook of Eshcol, and they cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. These grapes were so large that it took two men to take them, to bear them, okay? Two men upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook of Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel. And when you read in verse 26 where it says all the congregation, it's not talking about every single person in Israel. Okay? It's talking about the heads of the different tribes in Israel. That's who he's talking about, okay? And unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, talking to Moses, giving their report to Moses, they said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Okay? Now, I want you to get this picture in your mind. The men are coming back from spying out the land. Two men walk in with this cluster of grapes, huge grapes that took two men. You can see one man on one end, one on the other, and then this huge cluster of grapes. The pole is bending, it's sagging because the cluster is so big and huge and wonderful and juicy. You don't use it. Okay? And then you see the people. Look at that. God, look at that. Look at those grapes. Have you ever seen grapes that large? No, we've never seen grapes that large. And then the men say, we spied out the land. And it's just like God says. And you can just see the leader saying, yes, yes, we knew God was going to come through. We knew the land was good. Look at the grapes. Yes, yes, yes. We're going to go to the promised land. We're going to go to the promised land. We're going to go to the promised. Yes, yes, yes. We're going to have all our needs, man. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so they came back with the report. They got everybody excited about what God has said. God said the land is like milk and honey. It's prosperous. They saw that. They're ready to go over. They just read, just give us the word, Moses. We know that what God said is true. Give us the word. Let's go. Why wait? Verse 28. Nevertheless, okay, so they've come back. They've given this report about how great this land is. And then they say in verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And if that's not bad enough, moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Okay? Now, when you go back and look at Scripture, the children of Anak were from a race of giants. Okay? A race of giants. So we see here that the 12 came back, and we're going to see later that Joshua and Caleb were the two who did not agree with the report. Okay? So they came back, and they said the land is just like God promised. Okay? But then we saw the giants. We saw the giants. My gosh, we saw giants. Okay? Stephen, come here for a minute, please. What they did when they came back and gave their report, they exaggerated something awful. Sue Jen, come here, please, sir. Okay? Now, you see Sue Jen compared to Stephen. Add about this much to Stephen, okay? That's in reality what the giants look like compared to the children of Israel, okay? Now, you see Lee's son back there? Jeremy? Come here, Jeremy. Please? Lee, would you bring him up here for a minute, please? I want to show you what they did. Because, see, a picture is worth a thousand words. Okay? A picture is worth a thousand words. And this is important. I want you to see this. Okay? So they tell the children of Israel that there are giants in the land. They exaggerated how bad things were. They said that there are giants in the land, and then we're going to read where they say, and we were like grasshoppers in their sight. Stephen, go stand over next to Jeremy. Okay? Sue Jen, thank you, sir. Now, if Jeremy was on the floor, that is what the report came back as saying. That's how we were in their eyes. You see the discrepancy? Jeremy hit Stephen about right here, maybe. Okay? And that's what the reporters came back and said. That is how big these people are. We were like grasshoppers in their eyes. There's no way we can fight them. There's just no way. Okay? Thank you, Jeremy. You were good. Thanks, Stephen. And so they gave this report, and they said that, and if that was not bad enough, moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. They were giants, okay? So I came back. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why would they exaggerate what they saw in the land? And this is what he told me. He said, Satan did not want the children of Israel taking possession of his stronghold. And he did not want them to enjoy what the land had to offer. Once the children of Israel possessed the land, Satan no longer possessed it. Once the children of Israel possessed the land, Satan no longer possessed it. As long as you refuse, now think about what this means to you today. As long as you refuse to take possession of the land, your inheritance, the promises in my word, you will not enjoy the fruits of your land. You will not enjoy it. You are allowing someone else, Satan, to enjoy and use what is rightfully yours. You see that? When we don't possess the land, we are allowing Satan to use what God has given us. Okay? What he has given us. And what God has given us, we know what the promises of God's word says. We prosper physically, mentally, spiritually, financially. He's given all that to us. But see, when we are not prospering in those areas, we have not taken the land. We have allowed Satan to keep the land. And so the question then becomes is, do you believe that the land is yours or not? Do you believe that the promises in God's words are yours or not? Okay? That's the same question that God is going to ask later on as we get into this. Okay? Now, I want to show you something. Go back to Deuteronomy, and this time in chapter 3. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak. Okay? Now, notice the word, we saw. We saw. Anytime what we see conflicts with God's word, follow God's word. Don't follow what you see. Because, see, Satan is always going to get you to focus on what you can see. Okay? Example, gas prices, $3 a gallon. My gosh, how am I going to have money enough to go to work to fill up my gas in my car? How am I going to do that? How? For my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Not according to your riches and glory, but according to his riches and glory. See? See, you're drawing on the wrong bank account. You're drawing on the wrong bank account. See, you have your job and you go to work every day and you think that you earn X amount of dollars, then that's your bank account and that's the only money that God has to work with. Because that's all I earn. So that's all the money God has to work with. That is a lie straight from H-E. Okay? Because that's not all the money God has to work with. That's all the money that you are allowing God to work with. You are limiting God by saying, I earn this amount of money. Beyond that, I need a miracle. And God is saying, no, you don't. You just need to focus on my bank account and not yours. Okay? But see, Satan's going to always have us focusing on our bank accounts. Okay? Our bank accounts. Now, the reason the children of Israel were concerned about Anak, the children of Anak, in Deuteronomy chapter 3, and we're still going to be back in Numbers, look at verse 1. It says, Moses still recounting what the children of Israel did 40 years ago. Then we turned and went up the way to Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, and he and all his people to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said unto me, fear him not, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into thy hand, and thou shalt do unto him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon. So the Lord our God delivered into our hands Og also, the king of Bashan and his people, and we smote him until none was left up to him remaining. Now go to verse 10. All the cities of the plain and all Gilead and all Bashan unto Sukiah and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Okay? Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. It is not in Rabbath of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man. Okay? I keep saying a picture is worth 1,000 words. Okay. This is how wide that bed was. If you look at a cubit being 25 inches, this is how wide that bed was. 1, 2, 3. That's how wide the bed was. Okay. This is how long the bed was. I'm starting here on this pew. To here. That's how long the bed was. You see why they were afraid of the giants? Because you got a bed that's 8 feet by 9 wide, okay? 18 by 4 long. 18 feet by 4 inches long. If I was children of Israel, I would be, this is what I saw. Okay, this is what I saw. But see, the problem with that is, before they went into the land, God had already said, it's yours. Don't be discouraged by what you see. The land is already yours. Okay? But see, we are so driven by what we see, what we hear, what we feel, taste, touch, you know, by our five senses. Our five senses are keeping us from going and possessing the land. Because, see, Satan works through the senses to keep you from possessing the land. Okay? So you can see why they would say, you know, the children of Anak were there. And when you read the record, they say that three or four times in that record, the children of Anak were there. They were big, mean, huge. And see, they were giants, not only in stature, but in terms of their evilness. Okay? They were evil just as much as they were large. Okay? So you see from a visual standpoint, you will see in this record everything that the spies said were true. They saw it. It was all true. The land was great. It was milk and honey. It had everything God said it did, and it also had giants. Everything they said was true. Okay? Everything they said was true. Now, look what Scripture says in verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, for we are well able to overcome it. Regardless of what we've seen, we are well able to overcome it. The words well able and overcome are the same word in the Hebrew. It's almost like Caleb is saying, we can do this. You know, I just can't think of the words to tell you how easy it's going to be if we just listen to what God said. Okay? Just do what he says. And then verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up. Case closed. Case closed. We are not able to go up. Caleb said, we are able to overcome it. God said it. We are able to do it. We are able to do it. And then that is what faith says. Faith says we are able to do everything God says we can do. Unbelief says, no, we can't. No, we can't. Okay? Yes, God's word says that when I pray for someone, they're going to get delivered. God's word says if I pray for someone, they're going to get healed. Well, Barry, why aren't they healed when you pray for them? Because I have not yet possessed that land. I have not yet possessed that land. But I'm working on possessing that land. Okay? So the conclusion of unbelief is, I will believe it when I see it. I will believe it when I see it. Okay? Just like Thomas. I will believe Jesus is risen when I see him. You know, if we wait until we see evidence of God moving in our lives, it's going to be a long wait. A long wait. Because God says, I'm going to move when you have faith in me. That's when I'm going to move. That's when I'm going to move. Okay? We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They are stronger than us. We can't go up against them. They're stronger than us. In verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land. You see that? They brought up an evil report of the land. Even though the land was exactly what God said, they brought up an evil report of the land. They said, you know, God said, what God said is true. But what God said about the land is true, but, okay? One of the things that we have to realize as men and women of God, Christians, children, is that it's not what we bring to the table when it comes to dealing with the issues of our lives. It's who we bring to the table. Not what we bring, it's who we bring. Okay, it's who we bring. Okay? You know, it's just like, you know, you go into a fight and you see that your opponent is larger than you are. Then you got a best friend who's larger than your opponent. So you bring your best friend to that fight. So it's who you bring to the fight. Okay? But see, we have not learned that we don't have to fight all by ourselves. We haven't learned that yet. That's why we aren't possessing the land. That's why we're not possessing the land. Okay? It's available for us to never fail again in anything. It's available for us to never fail again. The only thing we have to do is listen to the voice on this inside of us. That's all we have to do is take guidance from the Holy Spirit that works with the Spirit on the inside of us. We never have to fail again. If you just listen to that voice. Because that's what God was telling the children of Israel to do. Just listen to me. Just do what I ask you to do. Okay? Now, why was the report evil? Let's keep reading. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. So you see, they're coming back to the giants again. And when it says the land eateth up the people, they were talking about there was always constant war and fighting going on. So, you know, you saw bodies all over the place because people were dying. The land was eating up. The people were killing each other. Remember, we talked about how evil the people were? Remember, this was Satan's stronghold. He owned this place. And he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Okay? Verse 33. And there we saw the giants. See, they keep coming back to the giants. The sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. They exaggerated the difference between themselves and the giants. Okay? They exaggerated. Look at chapter 1 and verse 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Get the picture. They come into the congregation with the grapes. Man on each side. Grapes full, juicy, sagging in the middle because they're so heavy. And then they tell them about everything that God said was true. The people are joyous. They're ready to go over and conquer the land. And then in the very next breath, they said, but wait a minute. There are giants over there. There are giants over there. We don't want to go over there. There are giants. And see, we've read it three times already. There are giants over there. And we are just like grasshoppers to them. We're like grasshoppers to them. Okay? And because of that, the people went from joyous, ready to go conquer the land, until they're crying now. They're discouraged. And all the children of Israel, verse 2, murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, you know, matter of fact, that's a good idea. Let's get us a captain and let's go back to Egypt. That's a good idea. We don't want to go to the promised land. There are giants over there. There are giants over there. We don't want to go to the promised land. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Okay? Hold your finger here and go back to Deuteronomy chapter 1. I should have probably told you to hold your finger in Deuteronomy chapter 1 also. Look at verse 26 in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Well, look at verse 25. And they took the fruit of the land in their hands, and they brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of your Lord, of the Lord your God. What was God's commandment? Verse 21. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. That's what they rebelled against. God's word. Okay? And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hateth us, he has brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us unto the land, to the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart. Our brothers have discouraged our heart, saying the people is greater and taller than we. So you see what discouraged them. There are giants in the land. That's what discouraged them. The cities are great and walled up to the heavens. And moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. Again, talking about giants in the land. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in the land in Egypt before your eyes. Guys, remember, all the things that God did for us before we even left Egypt. The plagues, all that. And we left Egypt with the wealth of Egypt. Remember that? Remember that, guys? And then verse 31. And then the wilderness, where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth his bear his son, and all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. Verse 32. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. You see that? Ye did not believe the Lord your God. As you're sitting here tonight, what are the giants in your land that are keeping you from believing the Lord your God? What are the things that you can see here, that you can hear, that you can almost touch, that are keeping you from believing the Lord your God? What are those giants? What are those giants? Because the giants that you have that are keeping you from receiving the blessing means that you believe them more than what you believe God has said. What are your giants? What are your giants? Okay. Back to chapter 14. Look at verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and these are the two men who are going to see the promised land. The other 10 are not. Which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. They were in anguish. They just couldn't believe what they were hearing. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it was an exceedingly good land. The words don't describe how exceedingly great the land is. The same is true today. Words can't describe how great the inheritance is, how great our land is. Verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, okay, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Exodus chapter 3, verse 8, when God called Moses and said, I want you to go get my people, bring them out of Egypt, and I want you to bring them into a land that flows with milk and honey. So if God, if the Lord delight in us, he will bring us. He's already promised. He's already promised. So what they were saying is, we know he delights in us. We know that. Look at verse 9. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. Too late. They had already rebelled against the Lord. Okay? Do you realize that delayed obedience is disobedience? Delayed obedience is disobedience. Okay? Because, see, God says go up and possess it. We're going to find out later that they tried to go up and possess it and just got smacked. Okay. The last part of verse 9. For they are bread for us. Their defense is departed them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Okay. Now, when I read that, I'm thinking they are bread for us. You know, it's a wonderful image. A wonderful image. Okay. But what Joshua and Caleb are talking about is, remember, all these years in the wilderness, they have been fed with bread. What was their bread? Manna. Okay? When you read Exodus chapter 16, verses 14 through 21, you see that they had to get up in the morning and go gather the manna. Okay? while it was still cool part of the day. Because once the sun came out and the shade was gone, the manna melted. Okay? The manna melted. This word defense in the Hebrew means shadow. Shadow. Protection. Their shadow, their protection is gone. Like the manna, they are bread for us. Once the sun comes out, the shadow is gone, the manna melts. It disappears. That's how their defense is, folks. That's what Joshua and Caleb was telling them. Just like the manna, they have no defense because we have God on our side. Okay? We have God on our side. Let me read this in a way that's kind of takes all that into consideration. It says, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are like our bread. Their shadow has turned aside from off of them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not, because when the shadow turns aside from off our bread, it melts away and disappears. So these enemies, hard and strong as they might be, will surely melt away before the Lord God, the sun and the shield of his people. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? And see, everything that Satan throws up against you is like manna that melts in the heat of the day. When you believe what God's word says. When you believe what God's word says. It's like manna that melts in the heat of the day. No matter what your bills you have, no matter what physical ailments you have, it's like manna that melts in the heat of the day. But see, what we don't do is, God's word says certain things. But see, we don't confess God's word to the point that we see those things realized in our lives. Because remember, we always think that we have to do something. We have to do something. And our declaration says, if I don't do it, then it's not going to get done. But the declaration that gives us victory says that by his stripes you are healed. For my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's the declaration that gives us victory. Okay? Now let's wrap this up in Hebrews, the last place we're going to go. The last place we're going to go. When you read, if you want to take the time and go back and finish reading the record in Numbers chapter 13, 14, and 15, you will see that the 10 spies who gave the evil report, they died. They died within a very short period of time, okay? Because that was God's pronouncement of judgment upon them. Only Joshua and Caleb went into the promised land. And all the people that murmured against Moses, who were 20 years old and older, did not get to the promised land. They did not get there. The Bible says that their carcasses were laid in the wilderness. Their carcasses was laid in the wilderness. Okay? Hebrews chapter 3. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 8. Harden not your heart as in the provocation in the day of temptation. Talking to us. Okay? In the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me. Talking to Jewish Christians, but the message is still the same for us. Prove me and saw my works for 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. They shall not enter into the promised land. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief. An evil heart of unbelief. Because if you have an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, it's going to carry you in an opposite direction where you need to go. Okay? Look at verse 16. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that what? Believed not. Believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. I really like the way the Amplified gives the last part of this verse. unbelief has shut them out of the promise. Unbelief has shut them out of the promise. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear or respect God's word. That's what he's talking about. Let us fear or revere or respect God's word, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So let us fear God. Let us believe what he said so that we won't miss any of the promises. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with what? Faith in them that heard it. Then first part of verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into the rest. When you believe, you enter into the rest. Okay? In Hebrews chapter 11, it's a verse that we're all very familiar with. Verse 6. Remember how God was so unhappy with the children of Israel because they did not believe him? But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And not only do you believe that God exists, that you believe he is, but you believe that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. You believe that if you go to him, he's going to reward you. He's going to answer your prayer. He's going to take care of you. Okay? But it's got to come from faith. Okay? Last place, Mark chapter 11. Kenneth Hagin, who, Brother Kenneth Hagin, who passed away, I think 2003, I think it was. This was his favorite verse. Okay? Mark chapter 11. Verse 22. And the reason I want to read this verse is because there's a repetition in this verse that's very important. Okay? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say, that's the first time, unto this mountain be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You see that? Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive, and ye shall have. I know that the King James has them in italics, but I like to read it. Believe that ye receive, and ye shall have. Ye shall have. Okay? The words that you speak are not mindless words. They carry power. So your declarations over your life carry power. And when your declaration lines up with God's word, then you're always going to be the victor. But see, we don't take seriously what it means for us to stand, identify God's word for the areas that we need, and then to speak them every single day. Every single day, we need to speak God's word over our lives. We need to, every single day, we need to say, Satan, this is for you, babe. My God shall supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. Satan, this is for you. God loves me. God cares for me. Satan, this is for you. You tell me one thing, but this is for you, Satan. And so you speak the word, and you make sure he hears what you speak. Whatever you say it. Whatever you say it. Now, when you start speaking God's word, the change is not going to happen overnight, because speaking God's word is building your faith. It's building your faith. And the more you speak it, the more your faith builds. Okay? And then at some point, it's going to be like the proverbial light bulb comes on. And then you're going to see things happen in your lives. So let me close with this. Declarations can do one or two things, okay? Declarations can defeat you, or declarations can bring you to an area of victory. You make the choice. You make the choice. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word and how simple and wonderful your word is. I just thank you how you laid it out for us, and that you want us to have victory in every area of our lives. But we know, Father, that that victory starts with a relationship with you and understanding what your word means and how to apply it in our lives. So I thank you, Lord, that tonight your word means more than just words on a page to the people in this church, and that your word have power, and that it is your word that will cause them to have victory over Satan. So, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I just thank you for your word and what your word means and what your word carries with it on the lips of people who believe it. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.